We do give you a very warm welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to our service of worship. Our speaker this morning is Pastor John Palmer from Lee. We're very grateful, sir. Thank you very much. And he's just informed me that he's also preaching next Sunday evening. On the sheet it says Sunday services next week is Pastor McCurry. Well, he apparently is in the morning, and Pastor John Palmer is in the evening. Just a few notices. We do have our usual midweek prayer meeting this week at 7:30. There's a holiday Bible club up Thursday between 10 and 12. And on Christmas Day, 10:45, for about 45 minutes. Brilliant. Okay, well, we'll get started with the worship of our Lord. Psalm 66, we're going to read the whole psalm. And we'll do our church tradition. I'll read the first verse and then the congregation the second and so on. Psalm 66, this is the word of the Lord. To the chief musician, a song, a psalm. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth.
Sing out the honour of his name. Make his praise glorious.
Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you.
All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your names.
Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men.
He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him.
He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah.
Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard.
Who keeps our soul among the living, and does not allow our feet to be moved.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined.
You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs.
You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment.
I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows,
which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble.
I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals, with a sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats, Selah.
Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul.
I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear.
But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer.
Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me.
Good morning, everybody. Let's begin. Continue in worship as we sing hymn number 301. This is a hymn based on Psalm 72 and written by James Montgomery, specifically as a Christmas hymn. The compilers of Grace Hymns have seen fit to put it in the Second Coming section. I think they're wrong. And we're going to sing 301. Hail to the Lord's anointed, great David's, greater son. Hail in the time appointed, his reign on earth begun. 301.
Amen.
turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord our God, we bless you that we can so come before you, that we can come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we who are sinners can come and worship you because he has come and taken away our transgression. That the one who was from all eternity planned and from the beginning of sin entering this world was promised, has come to break the head of Satan, has come to bring deliverance for the captives of sin, has come to bring salvation, to bring life, eternal life, to bring light to those who sat in darkness, even unto us. And we who are your people bless you, our God, that you are a God of love, a God of sovereign grace and mercy, and that that love and grace and mercy has reached even to us, so that we can truly come and worship you, the unseen God, the God who cannot be known except that you reveal yourself to us. But you have come in the person of the Holy Spirit, and you have come to open our eyes and to turn us from darkness to light and to bring us to Christ, the living Redeemer, who rules in glory and rules over all things for the sake of the church, his body, and brings all those you have given him into his fold, and none can pluck us from his hand. So we bless you this morning, our Father, and we come to pray that you would grant grace to us, your people, that we might live lives worthy of the calling to which you have called us, this high and holy calling in Christ, and that as you have been gracious in saving and delivering us, be gracious in providing for all our needs of body and soul. We thank you for your mercies of this past week. And we ask, O Lord, that you will continue to work in us and transform us and make us more like unto your Son, that we might be holy people, living lives that glorify you. Pour out your grace upon us, for we can do nothing, but through you we can do all things. And we can live for your glory by your strength, and we pray that we might. We pray you will be merciful to those who are yet outside of Christ, and bring them to yourself, even today, O Lord our God, that there will be fresh rejoicing, fresh singing of a new song in new hearts, to the same eternal, never changing covenant God. Help us, we pray then, to worship you this morning. Be with us now, we pray. Bless us in your great blessing in Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing our second hymn. Then we're going to take up the offering for the Lord's work. And after that, Roger is going to come and bring us his quiz. Is that all right? 188. I have different hymns written on this piece of paper from when I preached this sermon somewhere else. Child in the manger, infant of Mary, outcast and stranger, Lord of all, child who inherits all our transgressions, all our demerits, on him fall. 188.
Right, good morning, everyone. Are we all feeling quizzical? Chris, are you feeling quizzical? Yes, I'm quizzical. I've got my hand on my chin and I'm stroking it. I'm feeling very quizzical. Okay. And do we all like custom designer chocolates? Because if you do, I'll look. It's Dairy Box. Anyway, just an update. Wasn't it a wonderful carol service on Friday? It was a real blessing to be able to come. But weren't many of us there? But we had Mahmood with us and his new parents from Sale in Cheshire. Not Greater Manchester. Sale in Cheshire. And we had five young men, two of whom were Muslims, two of whom were Christians. Don't know about the other one. But I want to just give you an update, because you remember we gave them £1,000 out of our harvest offering. We bought them a car. Okay, so Jocelyn found a little Seat on Facebook. And because a lot of them can drive, but can't drive in the UK, they've got to take a UK driving test. There are now volunteers sitting in with them, driving them around, sitting next to them, not driving them around, because they've got to drive and get to know how to drive. So if anybody wants to help them do that, put their life into their hands and then they do know to drive on the right, not the left, and things like that. But so there'll be something in the notice box next week. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Just testing. Yes, that would be a disaster, wouldn't it? And you'd be up before the magistrates. And who was sitting next to you? Well, he was a member of Orton Park Baptist. He knew what he was doing. So we're looking for volunteers who might be able to help so they can get a UK driving licence and then perhaps look for work, because there's lots and lots of driving jobs. Anyway, we're going to have the Golden Oldies versus the BYTs, the Beautiful, Young and Talented. And I decide who's beautiful, young and talented when you answer the questions. And we're going to hang Santa, okay? Don't get the Christmas fleece onto me, but we're going to hang Santa. So we've got some Christmas themes. The really, really difficult ones are five words long, okay? The easier ones are three words long, and the really simple ones, I'm not going to name any names for people like, but anyway, like just one word. You need to hang them out. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. I listen to RTE, it's a Southern Ireland radio station. There's a good Christmas cracker joke this week. Who don't you invite? Who don't you want to invite for Christmas dinner this year? Anti-vaxxer. Right, there we are. We've got that there. Did you get that right? Anti-vaxxer. Okay. Right, where's my... there it is. Okay, so let's choose... Chris. Right, you're the first one. BYT. Beautiful, young and talented. So, now everyone... Yeah, don't stroke your ball cap. Everyone has got to do a five-word answer. You can't just choose ones, okay. So, do you want to go in at the deep end, Chris, and choose a five-word answer?
Oh, well, I might as well...
Yeah, very good. Right, okay. Let's find a nice one. So, this is quite easy. So, two words... Sorry, two letters, four letters. Okay. So, Chris, choose a letter.
B.
B, very good. Okay, right, so we'll do this side there. You're not all beautiful, young and talented on this side, but anyway, we'll choose this side now. Joyce. Beautiful, young and talented. Choose a letter. Sorry? There's 26, 25 to choose from. E. Excellent choice. Oh, sorry, no, that's the wrong one. There we are. Right, this side now. Let's see, Claire. You're looking really nervous. I'll choose you. A letter, please, dear.
S.
S. Why did we choose Claire? There's always one, isn't there? So you will be getting a dirty box later. Right, let's have a look. Simon. Young, beautiful, young and talented Simon.
A.
Sorry?
A.
These chalks are about 10 years old, you can tell them. Right, anyone guess it yet? David, can you guess it yet? Sorry, Golden, I'll be next to that. Anyone? Yes, David, John. Well done, no trip for Abed. Excellent. So that's a. Can you go and take that, John, and choose it? Go and attempt to choose a dirty box. Right, so that's that side. So it's now. Okay, so it's this side now, number five. Okay. Because you've got to. David, would you like your fibre now? You don't have to, but you want to get it over with, like the dentist. You do, right? Let's. Oh, this is a good one. Wow. Okay, Anna, talented, young, and beautiful. What letter would you like, dear?
A.
A. Well done. Oh, the rubbish Santa's head up there. Put a leopard on there for Twitter to blush all the way through the service. No, I'm not going to do that, mate. Right, this side. Ruth.
R.
R. Yes, there's an R in it. Okay, Maria.
E.
E. Good guess. Right. Reuben, young, beautiful, and talented. Can you guess what it is yet or not?
No.
No, well, have a letter, give me a letter then, please. Hold on, how many people are speaking?
G.
G, excellent. Right, that is a big clue, the last one with the GR. You know what it is? Are you playing as well? Do you want to choose a letter? No, you can't eat them, it's chalk. Go back to your seat. Margaret.
L.
Now that should be a big, big clue. Anyone guess it yet? Begins in all. Oh, do you know it? You are very clever. Yeah, that's right. Your dad's laughing and blushing and everything at the same time. Anyone know it? Quickly? Jean?
I know the second word.
Yeah, I'm not asking you. Jean, you know it? Begins with all. Right, we'll have another letter. So you've had this. So, Michael, choose a letter.
B.
Don't start second-guessing me. I can hear all stage whispering in the background. You're wrong, Michael. You've got to your wife. Rosie, a letter.
Oh,
very good. Okay, let's see. Yes, you know it. Yes. Well done. Excellent. Right. Where have you put me? Hey, I hope you have a time All seated on the ground. Right, we'll have one more at a tie break. And this will be a one-letter word. This will be a nice, easy one. Let's see if we can get it. John, do you know what we get so excited about with my Christmas quiz? Because I haven't got a clue.
It's the chocolates, Roger.
Oh, it's the chocolates, that's right. Right, OK.
Give them prizes, they'll do anything.
They will, like performing seals. Right, this is the last one. One word.
One word, there you are.
It's on the bottom row. How could you get five letters in there? For goodness sake. Right, we'll ask John for the first letter. No, there's no such letter as alphabet.
I can pick things out before. T.
T. Very good. Yes. There's always one, isn't there?
I can't even see the
word. There we are. In fact, you can give the sleeps out in a minute, okay, if anyone gets it. Right, Billy, a letter, please.
E.
E, well done.
Can I guess? No.
Hold on.
How long is this word?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 letters. Oh. S. I nearly said it then. Did anyone hear me?
No,
obviously not. Vivian Cupid, have a guess, please. Oh no, you can't sit down. Billy's already had one. Sorry about that. You are young, talented and beautiful. That's any compensation. Right, Mr. Hyer, violinist extraordinaire.
Is it Shepherd?
It is Shepherd. Well done. Where's the sweets? Don't give one. Do you want to go with...
No, you go.
No, you go. Go on. Nothing against you, dear, but... Do you want to go sit with Daddy now, because... Can you give him a sweet on your way back? Not Daddy. No. Is he allowed sweets from strangers? Right, everyone who took part can have a sweet later on, because Jill said, don't you start throwing sweets at people. So there we are. So the other ones, the five letters, what did I have? That's a three, that's not five. Hold on. Oh, I had no crib for a bed, all seated on the ground, Christ the Saviour's born, sea of middle winter snow, let earth and heaven combine. For my single ones, I had the easiest one. Three, I've got so many bits of paper here. My word, hold on. Where's it gone? I probably put it down. Oh, there it is. I'm just going to find it. Don't you remember these for next year? Okay. We had Hark, Mangy, Shepherds, Mary and Faithful. And for the threeers, what did we have for the threeers? Singing Exaltation, Joyful and Triumphant, Infant of Mary, Come and Worship, Light of Light. Whether we have had time to do all of them, I doubt it very, very much indeed. But thank you very much. That's it for 2021.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Did you say one of yours was Let Earth and Heaven Combine? Five letter?
Sorry?
Was one of your five letters Let Earth and
Don't
Heaven?
Don't start arguing.
No. It's just that's what we're going to sing. So
okay.
We're going to sing hymn number 208. Hymn's right, number's wrong. 191, Let Earth and Heaven Combine. I've been trying to choose from the ones we sing things that fit in to some extent with what I'm going to preach on. And the theme is really about Christ coming, but not just coming, but the whole point of salvation from eternity to eternity. And so we're going to sing, Thou who wast rich beyond all splendour, all for love's sake became as poor. Sorry about that.
Forever, nature did serve.
turn to God's word, and I'm going to read it and then going to expound it. We're going to look at Hebrews and chapter 1 and chapter 2, but not all of it, and going to read the first three verses of Hebrews 1 and then pick up again at the last verse of Hebrews 1 and read to chapter 2 and verse 13. So let's turn to God's word as we find it in the letter to the Hebrews at the beginning. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And then at verse 14, talking of angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honour and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given. God bless his word to us then. I've titled this, if you have a sheet, Salvation, His Story, but it's a sort of meant to be a play on words because we are looking at salvation history this morning, from eternity to eternity, as someone once wrote a book called that, in this passage to bring the context of why Jesus came into the world, to put it in that in the widest possible context. If I said what is Christmas about, you know that I could give you again, as has often been done, hasn't it, all the world's answers. And if these are where you stop at, you're wrong. You can say Christmas is about family, or people will say, oh, it's about presents, or it's about the children. Don't know where that came from, really, except Jesus being born. Or about self-indulgence, if people are being honest. And of course, we know all these answers are wrong. We know it's about Jesus. We know it's about the Son of God becoming man. I quoted from Calvin the other week, didn't I? The Son of Man becoming the Son of God becoming the Son of Man, so that the sons of man can become the sons of God. That is what Christianity is all about, and therefore what Christ coming into the world is all about. But we can still, as believers who believe that and believe in him, we can still have an impoverished and sentimental view about Christmas. We can still have a man-centered Christmas while we're thinking about Christ. If we get too taken up with the wonder of the baby and not in the terms of everything else, it can be that actually it's just because we like babies. That is the danger which we must guard against. And the reality which we celebrate has nothing to do with being sentimental. The reality which we celebrate is an awesome glory. God becoming man. So that we can, by faith, we see Jesus, verse 9. Emmanuel, as we've been singing, God with us, God in us. And that's what this passage, particularly in here in Hebrews 2 from verses 5 to 9, though I will be going beyond that, speaks of. And I've got 3 points this morning, and the second will be the longest of the three. But we start with the plight of man, because that's where the writer is starting. He's quoting Psalm 8 here in verses 6 and 7 and the first half of verse 8 of Hebrews 2. And he's saying basically in this exposition of it, man is not what he ought to be. He quotes Psalm 8 to say this is the privilege of man. God made him like this, a little lower than the angels, verse 7, but crowned with glory and honour and set over all the works of God's hands with everything in subjection under his feet. That's how God made Adam and Eve. Only a little lower than the angels. Crowned by God with glory and honour and given dominion over all creatures. Psalm 8, the writer only quotes part of, and Psalm 8 says this in verses 7 and 8, where it says, verse 6, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. Man is not just an animal. Man is given dominion over the animals because man is made in the image of God. God made man to rule this world. Genesis 1 and verse 28, God said, see, I have given you every, verse 28, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God made man in his image to exercise dominion over this world. Genesis 1 and verse 26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. There's the Trinity speaking. In our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his image. For this purpose, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And here in Hebrews 2, this is emphasized. Here it is in verse 8, quoting from Psalm 8, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. And the writer stops there and he says, this is my point. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. That's the point he wants to start at. That's why he's quoting Psalm 8. This is where we should be. We should be in that position, all of us, but we're not. We're not because Adam fell. We're not because he brought us into bondage to sin and the earth into the bondage of the curse. And so we are sinners. And so we are unable to fulfill the purpose for which God made us. Not certainly completely can we do this. We still have authority over so much, don't we? We still can tame animals. We still can shoot animals. We have an enormous amount of power. But man, fallen man, does not exercise that power in the way that, for the purpose that God gave it. For God. Man does not believe sinners do not believe their high status and purpose. So they oppose God, and also they act so often, don't they? Just like beasts. Isn't it one of the great tragedy and waste that so many people live this life just like an animal? They procreate, they try to get enough food to keep body and soul together, and in the end, they die. And you could say that of a dog as well as of a human being. And man, sin has brought man to not know God, and therefore not know who he is. Psalm 49 verse 20. A man who is in honour yet does not understand is like the beasts that perish. The greatest king who's ever lived who doesn't understand what he's here for is just like a beast that perishes. It is an enormous tragedy. And so man, with this idea that he is meant to rule this world, but for himself and not for God, tries to do it. Isn't that what we see with this whole climate change thing? We can do things. Not God help us to do the right thing, while we decide what we're going to do and we'll try to do it. But of course, man cannot change the climate. God is in control of that. We know that from the scripture. The problem with man is that man has two problems, linked problems. He has too high a view of his ability about himself and about the world. People think they can control themselves and control the world, and they can't because of sin. But people also have too low a view of their purpose, which is to live with God and for God. And so people are trying to do what they can't, and they're not trying to do what they ought. And that's the plight of man. What's the answer of God, secondly? Well, of course, the great truth is this, isn't it? God doesn't just give an answer. That's what the religions try to do. God becomes the answer. The Son of Man. Alluded to there in Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? And the writer, under the inspiration of God, says, yeah, what is man? But look, there's a mention here of the Son of Man. When we come to Jesus in his ministry on earth, what does he normally refer to himself as? The Son of Man. He's pointing his hearers, and they would know the scriptures very well, back to this passage and other passages like Daniel 7. He's saying, I am the promised Son of Man. The title is, it sounds like, well, we can all say we're sons or daughters of a man. But the point is that the Son of Man is a title which says, I was God and still am God, but have become man. It's a title of voluntary humiliation, voluntary self-humbling. But it's also a title that says, I am the fulfiller of the promises and the prophecies of salvation. You see, God is bringing about in the world to come, as the writer says here in verse 5, he's bringing about that there, man, not just the Lord Jesus Christ, man should rule in the world to come, a replacement world, a perfect world, a world of which is spoken by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 3 and verse 13. We look, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And where we're told in Revelation 22 and verse 5 that God's people will reign with him forever and ever. And that's why Jesus came. But because we're imperfect. And we cannot possibly fulfill that great and glorious privilege. So God came into the world as a perfect man. Jesus Christ is Son of Man because he's first of all Son of God. His greatness far exceeds that of the angels. Go back to Hebrews 1 and verse 2. And it says, in these last days God has spoken to us by his Son. And in verse 5, he says, you are my Son. And in verse 8, but to the Son, he says, the emphasis is that Jesus who comes, the one who comes into the world is the Son of God, who comes into this world born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. And so he brings us a great salvation. Verse chapter 2 here, it says, doesn't it? In verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That is the word, isn't it, that has to come to each heart this morning if you're not a believer. How can I escape the wrath of God for my sin if I neglect this so great salvation, because there isn't another one? Because this is the perfect salvation. Jesus is made lower than the angels, and yet the angels come. The angels come to Mary, the angels come to Joseph and predict his birth, and when he comes into the world, the angels are there. Luke 2 and verse 9, the angel of the Lord standing there, saying to the shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And a great company of angels sing, glory to God, or say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. The angels knew that the one who is born in Bethlehem is greater than them. And they come gladly saying, he is the Saviour. He is the Lord. He is the one who has been made for a little while lower than us. But he is the Saviour. He is the one who lifts man up to his final, eternal, glorious state. He is the ideal man. He is the representative man. That's how Paul puts it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45 says of Jesus, it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, but the last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit. Verse 47, the first man Adam was of the earth, but made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Jesus comes as the head of this new humanity, which is going to rule over a new heaven and a new earth, as man ought to have ruled over this heaven and this earth. God says, I will start, here's Adam, he's led us into sin, this world is corrupted, I send a new Adam, a second man, and his people will fulfill my eternal desire and rule over a new creation where there is only righteousness. And that is why I will send him into the world, born of a virgin, coming in evident humility. Sometimes it's worth looking at the whole humility aspect of the birth of Christ. I'm sure you've heard of all this many times. How he's born of an unmarried mother. His first followers are shepherds who are despised by the rest of the Jews, because they didn't think they could keep ceremonially clean. And he has no room in the inn, and he's laid in a manger. And his self-humbling is stressed by the circumstances of his birth, which God providentially brought about. And yet angels are saying, look, look, here he is, go and worship him. Why did he come? He came to bring us then this salvation. The writer goes on here and says in verse 9, we see Jesus who was made a little lower, or for a little while lower than the angels. For the suffering of death crowned with glory and honour. That phrase is correctly translated. That's how you take it. That he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. His death is mentioned twice here. The suffering of his death. His death as a representative. His death not for his own sins, but for the sins of others. He died upon the cross. Jesus, who lived above the sky, came down to be a man and die. And therefore, because he came and died in the place of sinners, he has his promised reward. Hebrews 1 and verse 3 here. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Or in Philippians chapter 2, that great paean of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, which says that he came into the world and he came and became the fourth. He did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, found in appearance as a man, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Came to pay the ultimate price, came to bring salvation, came to bring us from sin to God. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess, as one day every tongue will, willingly or unwillingly, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that he is now again higher than the angels. Crowned with glory and honour, risen from the grave, ascended into glory, to rule as man and God forever. Because the Lord Jesus Christ will rule forever, but we need to know he rules now. He is already exalted to the right hand of the Father. He is the one who pours out the Holy Spirit in salvation. He is the one who rules over all things, as the apostle says, for the sake of the church, which is his body. He rules then because he rules now. And we can know, you can know that he rules then if you know that he rules now. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, and there is only one of him, the right Lord Jesus Christ, the true Lord Jesus Christ, you know the one who is ruling now at the right hand of the Father. You have no reason to doubt that he's going to rule forever and ever, do you? And what is he going to bring about? Let's go on. Verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things, and by whom are all things, God, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You notice what's said there. He's bringing sons and daughters, children, to glory. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one nature, human, because God became man in Christ Jesus. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So he calls us sons and he calls us brothers, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And later on in the end of verse 13, here am I and the children whom God has given me. These are marvellous terms, aren't they? Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, these are my children, or these are my brothers. It depends on what the context is as to which is the most appropriate way of looking at it. But that's family terms. Intimate family terms. You can't have a closer relationship in a family than brother. It's someone who is your brother or sister or someone who is your child. We are not meant to be far off from Jesus Christ. We are meant to be his kin who he loves. And what does he do? How does he bring us to share his glory? He declares God's name in heaven, in the great congregation. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. But he sends out those who will do this on earth too. And as the gospel is proclaimed, The response is to be this: I will put my trust in him. He says, and again, he means I'm quoting something else. He's saying this is the response there has to be to this Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying Jesus has not done something which you automatically gain the benefits of if you remain in your sin and your rebellion against God. He says you must put your trust in him. And then he quotes again. He quotes the glorious affirmation of the Lord Jesus Christ, prophesied through Isaiah. Here am I and the children whom God has given me, that on that last day Christ will come into heaven with all his redeemed people, and he will say, Father, you gave all these to me, and they're all here. Not one is missing. All my sheep, the sheep you have given me, all gathered into the fold. So that the salvation that Christ has wrought, which is a perfect salvation, he has died and paid all the price needed for sin, is now made perfect in the different sense, extensively perfect. In that all who, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit agreed from all eternity to redeem, are redeemed and brought to Christ and enter a new heaven and a new earth and reign with him and see his face forever and ever. And this is called love. What is love? Not that we love God, he loved us and gave his Son the propitiation for our sins. Here is the love of Christ, the love which is beyond measure in its breadth and length and height and depth. And it brought him from the height of heaven to the depth of earth. And he is pronounced across the breadth of this world. And the length of his salvation is throughout ages upon ages, forever and ever. And this is love to sinners, rebels. This is love to those who are the unlovely, that they might lovely be, even in his sight. Thirdly, then, this response of faith. I will put my trust in him. Go back to the beginning of the chapter. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. You can hear the gospel, and you can fail to give earnest heed to it, and the result will be you will drift away, and people will say, there is someone who used to come to church and hear the gospel, and now they don't. And why don't they? What is the difference? Why do some drift away from hearing the truth of Christ, and others are here every week whenever they can be, drinking it in? What is the difference? The difference, my friends, is those, the latter group are those who have put their trust in him, and therefore they love him, and they want to worship him, and they want to hear of him, and they want to be as close to Christ as possible. And the others say, oh, well, it sounded interesting. Sometimes we heard some quite interesting sermons, but I've given up all on. Again, what a tragedy. John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress said, didn't he, in his vision that I saw there was an entrance to hell even from the gates of heaven. And the gates of heaven here on earth are where Christ is proclaimed. There is nowhere nearer. And yet you can drift away. The word spoken through angels was steadfast. That's the law. And every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Well, if you had to pay attention to God's law and take it seriously, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What escape is there? So I would say to you this morning this. Look at, as the hymn says, doesn't it, his cradle and his cross and his tomb. Don't stop at the babe of Bethlehem becoming, this is God becoming man. Don't stop at the birth of a baby because you've missed the point. Don't stop at someone who is just a baby and is not God and Lord, or you are neglecting this great salvation. Don't stop at the cross either, in the sense that people will say, what a good man he was, and he did these miracles and he taught these wonderful things, and they hung him on a cross and he died, and then, but I don't believe he rose from the dead. You can't stop at the cross. That, if you stop at the cross, you say the greatest good who was ever in this world was defeated. There is no hope then. Because again, you're saying he was only a man. He is not God and Lord. No, he is God the Saviour. Ever to be trusted. Ever to be loved. Ever to be adored. And he is the one who, when he returns, will give entrance into the world to come. Man, in his unbelief, speculates about what will happen after death. You don't need to speculate. God tells you clearly. And he speaks gloriously of this new heaven and new earth, but he says entrance into it is only for those who receive Christ here and now. And therefore are one with him by faith. And therefore he is their saviour. He is their covenant head. You see, there is nothing else and no one else worthy of being proclaimed. Look at Jesus as the scripture shows him. God, perfect, who becomes man, a perfect man, in order that he might live the life that you cannot live and die the death that you cannot die, so that he can be your... Your unrighteousness can be covered by his righteousness in the sight of God, and your sin counted as his, having been paid for upon the cross. And then he is risen, so he has conquered death. And then he has ascended, so he gives entrance into heaven. And he's going to bring about a new heaven and a new earth and rule forever. So this Christ... Will you have him? As Jeff Thomas has been known to say, what's wrong with him? Why will you not have him? What are you looking for? What are you looking for in terms of answers to this world and to your plight and to your inability to live for God? What are you looking for in terms of salvation? What are you looking for in terms of what will happen to you after death? It's all found in Christ. What else do you need? You just need him. You just need to come, turning from your sins and crying out to him. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do not go away from here. Saying, we heard a lot about Jesus, we heard a lot about Christmas, we heard about this and that, and just neglecting the whole point. Neglecting this great salvation. God, at such an immense cost, brought his Son into the world and had him nailed to a cross to die for sinners. Are you going to go away and say, well, so what? That's nothing to do with me. And finally, Christians, if by grace you have responded in this way that God teaches and put your trust in Christ, you need, don't you? We need to rejoice in this great salvation. We need to rejoice in it more. We need to be crying out to God that in 2022, we will rejoice in this great salvation more than we have in 2021. And we need to proclaim it. And we need to cry out to God for grace and for opportunities so that we will tell of Christ more in 2022 than we have in 2021. And we need to pray for God to send forth this gospel through the world so that everyone will hear of Jesus. And that people from every language and tongue and tribe and nation will be flocking into his kingdom, as many are across this wide world. The Lord Jesus is exalted at the right hand of the Father. How exalted is he in your heart and soul? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that salvation is the story of Christ, that there is nothing outside of him that you have done for us, that everything is wrapped up in him, and that when we receive him, we receive eternal life and every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Grant, O God, then, that all here might not neglect and drift away from this great salvation, but gladly embrace him and live. We ask it in his name. Amen. We're going to sing 212. Now we are going to sing "Let Earth and Heaven Combine." Angels and men agree to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity, our God, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. But he goes on, as Wesley always does, in verse 5 by the end, to speak about the glories of eternal salvation. And we go on to sing of them, 212. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.